Now, returning again to the book of Ruth, to the chapter 2. And this afternoon, I'd like to draw your attention to the verses 17 through to 20. And so we'll read them together, then we'll seek the Lord's help in prayer. So she, that is Ruth, gleaned in the field until even, or until the evening time, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Let's just seek God's help in prayer. Father, we ask again for thy grace and favor to bless not only thy word as we have read it to our hearts, but bless our considerations and our meditations upon thy truth, that they may be blessed to our souls this day, and that we will be caused to worship the Lord and to praise him for his faithfulness. And we ask our Father that each and every person here might have a living testimony as to the saving and keeping power of the Lord. Should there be one here today unconverted, draw near to them in saving power. Challenge and convict them over their sins and show to them that near kinsman, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to redeem them and bring them into the house of God with praise and with salvation. We ask again in the Saviour's name. Amen. We haven't sang it this afternoon, but I'm sure you're familiar with the hymn by Johnson Oatman, Count Your Blessings. And during the Welsh Revival, it was one of the hymns that was sung at virtually every service that was held. You're familiar, no doubt, with the chorus, Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. There's a Belfast version of that hymn, you know. It's Count your blessings, name them four by four, and it will surprise you that there's millions more. As we sang that in Sunday school as little children. No doubt that's how Ruth must have felt when she returned home after working hard in the fields all day, counting her blessings. She had left home that morning with nothing, no doubt worrying what she was going to do, where she was going to go, who was going to accept her, where could she labor. She left home with many a worry, but she came home worshipping God for his great faithfulness. She had walked into that field hoping for a little, and leaves in the afternoon with a lot. She had started the day with an empty stomach, but returns with a full soul. You know, I've heard people say, Christians, that all we really want and need are the crumbs from the Master's table. I guess that's why we've so many crummy Christians. The Lord doesn't offer us the crumbs. He offers us the best of what he has. And the psalmist declared in Psalm 68, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Each and every day the blessings of the Lord are added to us. And we need to count our blessings at times to remind us what God has done. And if we did that, we would need a calculator to add up all of the blessings of God. And it wouldn't be too long after we started counting that we would realize that we are loaded daily with spiritual benefits. And to try and count out our blessings would cause us to say with Naomi there in verse 20, "Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and the dead." And so for a few moments this afternoon, we want to look at some of the blessings that Ruth received after her time in the field of Boaz. And I want you to notice, first of all, how God enriches us with his blessings. God enriches our experience with his blessings. This has been a wonderful day for Ruth. You can almost picture her singing on her way home, "Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. The Lord has been gracious to her." Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20 says that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Well, Ruth is abounding with blessings. She's loaded down with blessings. And the Lord has blessed and enriched her life with his grace and with his favor. And notice what happens when God begins to enrich Ruth with his great blessings. There is an increased apprehension of the Lord. She begins to learn more about the God who is blessing her. She's a new convert. She's come out of paganism from the land of Moab. She's just recently arrived in the land of Canaan. She has put her trust under the wings of the Lord God of Israel. And up until this point, she perhaps knows a little about the Lord, but she's beginning to learn more. And all of the events of the day are showing Ruth who the Lord is and what he does for his people. She's learning as to what the Lord is like and by the blessings that are being received into her life. She's going to learn to trust in his word. She's going to find meaning in his ways. She's going to see how powerful he is in his works. Let's take a moment and look back at some of the events of Ruth's life this day and what has happened to her and what has taught her about the Lord. Well, she's learned something about God's providence. We've already covered the verse, but look at verse 3. "That she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers and her hap." We might say she just happened to light in a part of the field belonging to Boaz. She just happened to find her way to that particular part of the field. But it wasn't just chance that brought her there. It was the providence of God. And she's learning that God is in control. And as she leans more fully upon the Lord, she'll come to realize that God has a plan and a purpose for her life. And he's ordering her steps. And he's overruling in the things that come to pass in her life in order that God's will might be fulfilled. God has a plan for Ruth. She's going to get married to Boaz and they're going to have children. And King David is going to come through their generations and through him, the Savior to come. God has a plan for Ruth. She thought it was just chance that brought her to the field, but she's going to learn that the providence of God is at work. And one of the blessings that we experience in life is that God is in control. Sometimes we're tempted to worry. I hope you don't do that. Or to pull out your hair in frustration. That doesn't work. But God is in control. And as we go through life, we are in the classroom of God and we learn about his providence, that he has a plan and a purpose that he is working to fulfill for our good and for his glory. And the good thing about the plan of God and his purposes is that there is nothing and no one who can change them. And the enemy, the old enemy, Satan, can do all that he wishes to seek to overthrow the plans of God, but he will always fail. You know, he thought he had succeeded when he took the Lord Jesus Christ and with cruel and wicked hands had him tried and then put to death upon the cross. You can read Psalm 22 about the dogs that encompassed the cross, and the roaring lion, and the bulls of Bashan, and no doubt Satan thought he had triumphed that day. And yet, just over a few pages into the book of Acts, we see the Apostle Peter preaching and telling them that though they, with cruel and wicked hands, had crucified the Savior, that it was all part of the plan and purposes of God. God rules and overrules. And she's learning something about the providence of God. She's learning something also about the provisions of God. In verse 14, Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And then verse 17, she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She was filled and sustained in the middle of the day, and by the close of the evening, she had a basketful. She had an ephah of barley. Now, I had to do a little bit of research. An ephah of barley is an equivalent of about 23 litres of barley. That's quite a supply. And she's learning something, that God will supply her needs according to his riches and glory. She's learning what David would one day express in Psalm 37, that I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. She's learning about the provision of God. I remember the day that I was due to be examined by our presbytery in order to enter into our Bible college for training. And I remember being greatly concerned about my finances, or rather the lack of finances. I'd just finished university, and I'm sure you know there's no such thing as a rich student. I was broke. I had just enough for each day and nothing more. And I'd gone to my bank that morning, and I had inquired about a loan, a student loan, to help pay for my tuition, but they couldn't help because I had no income. And I remember walking through the streets of Portadown, praying about the situation, not really paying attention to where I was going. And I eventually stopped and looked into the window of the shop that I'd stopped outside, and there was a little plaque in the window that read, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I'd managed to stop outside what was known as the Faith Mission Bookshop, a little Bible bookshop. And there for my soul was the word of God from Philippians, a promise of supply for needs according to his riches and glory. My doubts disappeared in an instant. Later that evening, when I was asked by the men of Presbytery concerning my finances and my ability to pay for my tuition and studies, I simply replied that I believed that God had called me, and as such he would provide the way. And he did. And I learned something about the provision of the Lord. Never had very much money, but I always had what I needed. I'm very thankful and grateful to the Lord for his kindness and mercies. God met my need and taught me that day and every day since that not only can he provide my needs, but he does provide my needs. And God's blessing in our life increases with our knowledge and our apprehension of the Lord. She learned about his providence and his provisions. And all of these things inspired her appreciation. Verse 10 tells us that she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? These blessings that she has experienced have moved her in humbleness and gratitude. Her heart is overwhelmed. It's overflowing. The goodness of God. You can think of Psalm 23. Our cup runneth over. He pours blessing after blessing into our life until at last we are overflowing with His grace. And as we reflect upon the blessings of God that we enjoy every day, our hearts should be filled with thankfulness and praise and love and devotion for the Savior. So her life has been enriched by the presence of the Lord and by the blessings that He gives. Now, these blessings that God has given to Ruth, they're not simply for her to hold on to as tightly as she can. God is entrusting her with these blessings. And He has something that He wants her to do. And so in verse 17, we find her returning home. The day is over. She's finished gleaning. She's beat out her corn. And she's gathered about an ephah of barley. As I said, that's about 23, maybe 25 liters of barley. What's she going to do with it all? What are we to do with the blessings that we experience and enjoy from the Lord's hand? Well, Ruth realized something, as we should also, that we have been entrusted with this barley. And as we think about these blessings, we need to be mindful of God's favor in our life. And so verse 18 tells us that she took it up, this ephah of barley, and went into the city. So as he passed through the streets, everyone would have taken note of Ruth. These 23, 25 liters of barley probably equates to about 10 kilograms in weight. And everyone sees her as he travels through the streets and the lanes of the city. And everyone that sees her recognizes her as that girl from Moab that came back with Naomi. They knew that she has arrived with nothing, and now they see her going home laden down with the heavy weights of blessing. She has been in the field of Boaz gleaning all day, and she has received a blessing that is almost too much for her to carry. And no doubt they watch her as she goes past. It may be that Boaz was making a statement to the community at large that this heavy sack of grain trumpeted to the rest of the world, I've got my eye on Ruth and I'm going to be a blessing to her life. And many of God's blessings to us are designed to show a lost and dying world just how good our God truly is. He blesses His people. He creates soul thirst for Him in the hearts of those that do not know Him. That's why He gives us grace for living. He wants us to be living testimonies to His power and to His glory. So she passes through the city and she goes eventually to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. I can almost picture her, laden down with this heavy burden of barley and getting her foot to the door of the house and knocking on the door with her toe. Open the door, my arms are full of blessings. And as the door was opened, the blessings of God in her life were obvious, laden down with blessings. And Naomi asks her in verse 19, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Where does he get all of the barley, Ruth? God has blessed her, and that's obvious. And Naomi wants to know the source of the blessing. Where did you get it all? Others should see the blessings of God in our life. Can they look at us and say that it's obvious that God is doing something with that person? That He's enriching them and blessing them and using them for His glory? In 1 Peter chapter 2, In verse 9, Peter says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. To what end? That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." To show forth. That word today describes an advertisement. We are to be an advertisement for the Lord, a billboard for God. We are to advertise who He is and what He has done. And that's exactly what Ruth was. She was a living testimony showing forth the praises of Him who had called her out of darkness into marvelous light. Now notice what Naomi asks in verse 19. Where have you gleaned today? Naomi asked, where have you gleaned? But Ruth didn't tell her where she had gleaned. She told her with whom she had gleaned. She showed her mother-in-law and with whom she had wrought and said. Naomi said, where have you gleaned? That's not the important question. The important answer is with whom I have gleaned. I wrought today in the field of Boaz. Ruth witnessed to the blessings that she had received have come because of Boaz. We should be a witness to the Lord, not pointing to the blessings, but pointing to the one who has given the blessings. And so we're told she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. In other words, Ruth shared with Naomi the things with which she had been blessed. As she made her way home, all of the time thinking of the wonderful joy that she would have in sharing with her mother-in-law how God had blessed her. Or as Paul said in Romans 14, verse 7, none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. It's popularly said that no man is an island. In other words, we interact with those around us. We have an impact upon their lives in the same way that they impact upon ours. And the reason that God has blessed Ruth so abundantly is that she might acknowledge the goodness of God and then share it with others, and that they too might praise the abundance of God's grace. Too many believers are like the Dead Sea. And you know why the Dead Sea is named as such? Because there's an unusual amount of salt that's found in its water, and very little life, if any, exists in the waters of the Dead Sea because of the heavy salt content. And there's a reason why the Dead Sea is so salty. It has 6 inlets and no outlets. It's always taking in but never giving out. Ruth has received blessings in order that she might further distribute blessings to others. Someone said that our service to others is our paying of the interest on the life that has been loaned to us. The blessings are a loan from God that are to be shared with others. All the barley we have reaped is not to be stored in our barns, but to be distributed. We are to share the blessings of God. Do you think that the Lord has blessed you and encouraged you so that you might simply become rich with blessings? Or has He blessed you so that you might be a blessing to others? And so when we work for others, when we distribute blessings to them, when we seek to serve them in Christ's name, don't look upon it as conferring some favor upon them, but paying your debts. We experience the blessings of God so that we might then extend those blessings to others. We receive of God's blessings so that we might then give out of God's blessings. So as we glean, we are to give. As we are blessed, so we are to be a blessing. So whatever we have been blessed with by God has been given to us for His glory. If it's a talent, or a truth, or a gift, or a financial resource, God's blessings are given to us so that we might in turn bless others. Paul said to Timothy, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. In other words, as I have been entrusted with these blessings, so share I them with others. How has God blessed your life? Take time to think about those blessings and count them and name them one by one and then share them with others. Your talents, your gifts, your abilities, whatever God has blessed you with, it's that you might be a blessing to others. As we have been enriched by God and entrusted with His grace, we are to be employed then in His service. We are to become an instrument in the hand of God that He might bless others with. We are the hands of God upon this earth through which He works. And the food that Ruth gleaned for herself now becomes the food that others benefit from also. I've often been asked as a pastor that I want God to use me. I want to be of use to the Savior. I want to do something for the Lord. And one of the ways that God uses us is through what He has already done for us. Notice how God uses the blessings that He's given to Ruth to bless Naomi also. So that she becomes an encouragement to her mother-in-law. Look at verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who hath not left off His kindness to the living and to the dead. Now this is a wonderful contrast to how Naomi spoke a little bit earlier in the book. She's returned from Moab. She said, I went out full, I came home empty. I'm no longer Naomi. And now Mara, call me Mara, call me bitter. Because that's what my life is, it's bitter. God had brought her home empty. And she considered her life as being cut off, as good as dead. But now that Ruth walks through the door with all of this barley, she's saying, God hasn't forgotten me. He does still love me, and He does still care for me. And her weak faith is being strengthened by the blessings that she's observing and obtains through Ruth. And Naomi is brought out of the place of bitterness and restored to the place of worship and of victory. That's what we can do for other Christians. That we can encourage their weak faith. Ruth had a need in her life. God met that need. And by the means by which God met her need, He also met Naomi's need. So you take those needs that have been in your life that God has blessed and met. It may be that God will want to use you to meet the needs of others in a similar capacity. Think of what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Let me give you an illustration and point of what Paul's speaking about. I have a friend in the ministry whom God delivered from a life of drug addiction. God wonderfully saved him out of drug abuse, sobered him up, saved him by his grace, and then uses him now for his glory. Do you know what his ministry is? Reaching out to those who are going through the same things that he went through. He works with drug addicts every day, bringing to them the good news of the gospel. That's what Paul's talking about. That what God has done for you, he can now do through you in the life of others. And that can be multiplied all across our lives. You've lost a spouse, a mate in the Lord. Perhaps you can give comfort to others that go through the same. You went through a terrible sickness or disease and found strength in the Lord. Can you be a blessing to others that are going through the same? Are the disappointments and discouragements that you faced and have come through in the will and power of the Lord, can you now speak to others that are going through the same and tell them of the encouragements that are in the Lord? God would have us to take of the blessings he has bestowed upon us and employ them in the service of others. And strengthen the weak in faith. Strengthen the Naomis that are wondering, does God still love me? Encourage them. And may they come away saying with all assurance, blessed be the Lord who hath not left off his kindness. Now, something else happens at the end of verse 20. Notice Naomi's reaction. Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Her weak faith is now becoming a worshipping faith. God uses Ruth's blessing to encourage Naomi. And then Naomi remembers something. The man, this Boaz, is near of kin unto us, is one of our next kinsmen. Naomi's actually able to share something with Ruth that will be an encouragement to her. That the one in whose fields she gleaned that day was one who was able to help a near kinsman, Boaz the Redeemer. We'll look at him a little bit later. But I trust that we will take the blessings that God has given us so richly and use them to be a blessing unto others, to promote the faith in God that we enjoy, to strengthen those whose knees have grown weak because of the heat of the battle, to be a tool, an instrument in the hand of God. Can we truly ask to be anything more or anything better than to be fit for purpose for the Master's use? I trust that we, having received much from the Lord, will also do much for him and be a blessing unto others also. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask that our thoughts today concerning Ruth and Naomi and Boaz may be sanctified by thy grace, that thou would be pleased to use us then in the work of thy kingdom, that we, having been saved by the grace of God and daily loaded with blessings and benefits, might be able to tell others of the good things of our Savior, of what he has done for our souls, how he has saved us and cleansed us and made us right with God, how he has given us an inheritance in glory to come, even a mansion within the Father's house. And we pray, Father, that we might be then an encouragement to others, telling them of our Savior, of his power, of his ability and willingness to save. And may we see the weak in faith strengthened and encouraged. May we see the lost one to Christ. And may all that we say and do be to the glory of thy great name. We do ask these things through Christ our Savior. Amen.